Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, wait, did you all expect me to preach from up there? You guys kind of expect me to preach up there, and that's probably a pretty reasonable explanation, because every time I've preached in this church, I've preached from up there, and every pastor before me has preached from up there. And our lives are kind of filled with expectations like that, right? We have expectations. When I go to school, I expect I'm going to learn something. When I go to work, I expect I'm going to get something done, if I'm into that kind of work. If I go to a show, I expect I'm going to be entertained. If I go to the doctor, I expect that they're going to be able to help me. If I go to church, I expect... Well, now here's a good question. When you come to church, what do y'all expect? That is really part of our question for the morning, and I promise I'll preach from up there. But we have all sorts of expectation, right? Right now, there's a lot of people that are in expectation as they're glued to screens waiting for Alice, April the giraffe, to have a baby, right? I won't ask you to know if there's anybody that's paying attention. We had the expectation of waiting for eaglets to hatch, and now we're waiting for a giraffe to be born in New York, right? We've got lots of expectation in our life. When we wake up, we have expectations of what's going to happen in our day and what's going to happen to us, and we have expectations about experiences. Well, this morning, our scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark is about expectation. You see, Jesus came into town. And when Jesus came into town, there was an expectation of what was going to happen. People expected him to speak a radical new message. People expected him to speak about the kingdom of God in a way that had never been spoken before. They were expecting that they might see miracles. They were expecting that people might get healed. This air of expectation of who Jesus was and what he was going to do by the rumors that had been passing through the area is what crowded that house with people. So many people in it to see him and to hear what he had to say that not a single person could fit into that house to add to the numbers. The crowd spilling outside to where people were just desperate to be able to hear him. Well, now what happens? The word gets out that Jesus is in town. This miracle man, this healer, this man of God, whether he's a prophet or something more. And these four friends know they have no other option but to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They have an expectation that a miracle might happen. So here they pick him up by the four corners of his mat and they carry him to the house only to be disappointed that there is no getting through that crowd. Have you ever been disappointed because you couldn't get? I'm kind of disappointed because I realized the reality that I probably won't get Hamilton tickets, okay? I'm jealous of some in this church, though. But they got disappointed because there wasn't room for them. But they're not going to turn away disappointed, are they? They expected there's another way. So what do? They do what any reasonable human being would do, right? And they climb up onto the roof, carrying their paralyzed friend with him. And up they go to find another way. Well, while they're heading up there, the crowd's inside the house, and they've got a whole different set of expectations. Theirs isn't expecting the healing that's going to happen in them, but they're expecting to hear this radical message. They're expecting to hear something amazing. And so what are they doing? They're looking between the heads in front of them. They're craning their necks to get a glimpse of Jesus. And here he is up there teaching, possibly about the kingdom of God, and this message of expectation that's within it, right? What was expected is that the rules would stay as they are, but Jesus breaks those rules. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the prodigal son that tells his father, "You're dead to me," but he gets a banquet at the end of the story. What is Jesus? But the kingdom of God is the workers in the field, and the worker that just worked the last minutes of the day gets the same pay as the one that slaved all day. That's not the fairness that we expect. But Jesus says what you've expected of God and what you expect his kingdom to be is changing on this day. So here's Jesus preaching this message, a new way of living and a new way of seeing the life to come. And as he's preaching and as the people are expecting to hear him and to see amazing things, what do they hear but footsteps on the roof? What do they hear but they hear digging in the roof? What do they see? Not miracles out of Jesus, but they see debris beginning to fall. Now, an inexperienced preacher, this would probably take them by surprise. An inexperienced preacher, it would probably cause them to stumble and not know what to do. But Jesus is Jesus, and Jesus doesn't miss a beat. Jesus just keeps on preaching despite what's falling, despite what's being heard, until all of a sudden what happens? But between the crowd and Jesus, a man is lowered down. I'm going to bet the crowd was not expecting that. But here this man comes lowering down to Jesus' feet because these friends expected that if they could just get him to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. One and only one mission: get the friend to Jesus. So this man comes down, and one would expect that Jesus is going to usher him away. You weren't invited. You weren't on the list. It's not time for this. But what happens? But Jesus sees this man, and he has pity on this man. Now, one would expect that the words of Jesus, if you read the Gospels, would be pick up your mat and walk, because that's what Jesus did with those who were crippled and paralyzed. He didn't pray over them. He didn't exorcise the demons out of them. His hands were not upon them. He simply spoke the words, get up and walk, and they did. But Jesus doesn't tell this man to walk. Jesus doesn't follow the expectations. He doesn't fulfill the wishes of the friends. But Jesus tells this man, your sins are forgiven. I would think this man would come and say, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to be forgiven. I'm here to be healed. His expectation was that he would get a solution. We spend time with that during the day. We spend time with that during our lives. I know when I go to the doctor, what do I expect? I expect they're going to figure out what's wrong with me, and they're going to give me a way to be treated and to be better. But when I go in with that expectation of the answers that the doctor's going to give me and the help that they can give, what do I also come in with? But I come in with the fear that they're going to say, there's nothing I can do for you. I did that just this week. I took Aiden into a specialist to see about addressing some of his challenge, and I had an expectation of a diagnosis. From all of my wonderful research on the internet, because we know the internet has the solutions for everything, right? I figured what I thought the doctor would say. I expected a particular diagnosis. But I went in with the fear that they were going to say, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we see here. And we just continue on the way that we are. We have expectations, but with those expectations comes fear. That man had the expectation, if I get to Jesus, Jesus will heal me. But the fear would be is that Jesus does nothing and his life stays the way that it is. And it seems like that's going to be the case when Jesus tells him not that he's healed, not that he gets to walk, but that his sins are forgiven. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is addressing the first problem first. the first problem of his brokenness. He's allowing him to be healed first in his heart. And what happens in that healing of his heart is allowing him to have a right and restored relationship with God. Right there in that moment, to be able to say, there is nothing between you and your Creator. You get to be in love with your God, and your God gets to be in love with you. Let's restore that relationship. Let's restore the spirit that is within you, and then we can address the physical problems. You see, us as human beings, we want to go first to the physical problems. We first want to deal with the broken bones and the bleeding and the issues that come in the physical. But Jesus here is saying sometimes there's a bigger problem to be fixed before the physical. Sometimes there's a bigger problem of where you are in your relationship with God. Maybe there's a bigger problem of where you are in how you see and view yourself. Maybe there's a bigger problem in things that are holding you back from fully living in wholeness and health. And Jesus here is saying, let's address that first. But when he addresses that first is when the ears of those scribes and those teachers of the law come up. I think they might have been good with the healing. I think they might have been good if Jesus just told him, get up and walk, and they could have been amazed like everybody else. But when Jesus has the audacity to heal sins, they snap back with the word blasphemy. How dare you try to do God's job? How dare you try to be God in this place, because only God can forgive sins? And Jesus challenges them to ask the question of which is easier, to tell a crippled man to walk or to tell a man that he's forgiven of his sins. But the answer there doesn't matter, because Jesus says, I can do both. I can deal with everything inside of a person, from the healing of their heart to the healing of their body. And he tells that man, roll up your mat and walk yourself home. And the man does just that. What he expected, he got. He just got it in a little different way than he expected. But how is this expectation of healing able to be fulfilled? Number one, because of the faith of his friends. The friends had such a deep faith in what Jesus was capable of doing, that they weren't going to let anything get in their way of bringing their friend to Jesus. They were not going to let anything get in their way. That man found himself at the feet of our Savior because of the actions and the faith of his friends. How else was he healed? Because people came with an expectation of hearing Jesus. Because that crowd gathered, Jesus was in that place and he was able to be there to be healed. So I come back to that question. As I think about who was in that house and everyone involved, and I come back to that question that I didn't finish, of what do we expect when we come to church? What do we expect when we come into this place? Do we expect to hear some nice music and maybe some nice words out of the pastor? Do we expect that we'll see our friends? Do we expect maybe there'll be something nice to eat after worship? Or do we expect to have a real encounter with our God and to be moved by his Holy Spirit? When we wake up in the morning, do we expect that we are going to encounter God? When we walk out of our house, do we expect that somewhere along the way, we are going to see the face of Christ on someone around us? When we get on our knees and we pray, do we expect that God is going to answer? When somebody tells us they need prayers, and we say that we will pray for them, do we expect that our prayers will be able to heal them? Do we expect God to be the God we read about in here? Do we expect Christ our Savior to be the miracle maker that we read about in here? Do we expect that this will be a reality in our life right here and right now? Because the fulfillment of expectations and the miracles of wholeness and healing out of brokenness come from the expectation of what's possible through our faith, through our God, through our Christ, and through His Holy Spirit. My friends, may you live in expectation. May you live expecting God to move you. And then may you give Him praise when He does just that. Amen.